The Holy Gospel is written in the 16th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke, beginning at the first verse. And glory to you, Lord. And he said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and he said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Turn in the accounts of your management, for you can no longer be manager.' And the manager said to himself, 'What shall I do? Since my master is taking the management away from me, I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses.' So summoning his master's debtors, one by one, he said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He said, 100 measures of oil. And he said to him, 'Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, 'And how much do you owe?' And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, 'Take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of the world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourself by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. And one who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. And if you have not been born fruitful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Please be seated. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let's just recap what we read. The bookkeeper got busted for doing things that enlightened and filled his pockets. And he's totally unable to do any other job. So he says, to make sure that I don't have to starve, I'll go out to everybody that owes the company money and tell them, "I have a new invoice for you, and we'll make up the difference here. You just do half of yours and a third of yours and a little bit of yours, and then we'll be good with each other. You'll make a profit because I worked with you." You'll remember that. I worked with you. So you'll make a profit. And the manager, the boss, can't say anything, even though he knows what the accountant did. He knows perfectly well that he was being wasteful, cheatful, and everything else. But the debtors had the invoices. And they had new invoices. And, the owner of the company can't very well question them because they look like they were legitimate invoices. But he got fired. And the reason he did all that, according to what we read, was so that he wouldn't have to worry about begging on the street or starving. So that these other people would take care of him in the process. He would be welcomed. What a messed up
parable. Well, you ask yourself, is this about stealing? Is it about making arrangements so that you're taken care of? You know, let's you and him fight type of thing? What's going on? You know, the steward is playing both ends against the middle. They say it's okay to be piggish because you'll get fat. But if you're hoggish, you get slaughtered. You become bacon. This manager got hoggish. He got fired. Because his only purpose was just for himself, nothing else. I find it interesting, there's references in this, and if you know, a good Jewish crowd would know this right off the bat, that numbers, very important thing happens in Numbers, somewhere around chapter 17, verse 5, is laid before the people and said, flourish or wither. Wow. And then in Deuteronomy, around 7, he says, God says, I have made you a holy people above all others. Okay. And he talks about those who obey and those who don't obey. But in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, he says, heaven and earth are witnesses against you. Now, with that story that we read about the steward, all the good Jews would be able to put this together and come together that Jesus is trying to tell them something. They're not, you know, come on, spit it out. Let me know, you know, what is happening. This Jesus is not condemning the manager, the steward, not condemning him at all. He's just laying it out. This is what this man did, and this is why he did it, so that he would be taken care of. And then Jesus goes on and says, for all eternity, you'll get your reward for what that brings. So the question arises, who's your master? And somehow or other, I had the lyrics to a tune from the 60s, Who's Your Daddy? And the other line that followed that was, is he as rich as me? Now I got to thinking about that. Who's your master? And is he as rich as the Lord? Because if he's not, why are you serving him? Yeah. God says he owns the cattle on 1,000 cattle on 1,000 hills, and he just keeps on going and going and going. And I don't know of anybody who's wealthier than that. Bill Gates isn't. He can't create anything. God can create things. You don't have enough cattle? He can take care of that. You don't have enough work to do? He can take care of that too. But who's your master? Is it hard to understand? You know, Ben Franklin, one of our early founders, had a method for making a decision as to what he was going to do. And I would commend it to you if you don't know who your master is. Do a Ben Franklin. It's very simple. You take a sheet of paper and you draw a line right down the middle. On the left side, you put yes. On the the right side you put no. And what Ben Franklin would do is he would go along and list all the advantages in this decision that he was trying to make. And then he would go over and list all the disadvantages. And then he would use that to make his decision. That sounds so good, but I'm going to tell you firsthand, that can be manipulated. I know. I used to do it. It's called a sales close. And it's very simple. I list all the good stuff. I hand you the pen and ask you to list the bad stuff. Guess who's going to win as far as filling out that sheet of paper? I will. So if you do the Ben Franklin sheet, please remember, don't bias it. Work hard at it. And if you're using that to help make your decisions, then be honest with it. And if you don't like the decision, well, be honest with that too. It's important. Oh, well. What do I know? I want to talk about this. Is this parable about stealing or something else? I don't think it's about stealing. Not at all. I think it's about faithfulness. Who are you faithful to? Jesus says it in the end, when we read it at the end. You know, those who were faithful in small will be faithful in large. Those who were dishonest in small will be dishonest in large. What is your faith like? Are you faithful in your relationship with Jesus Christ? I'm meddling. I'm poking my fingers out. Are you in an honest relationship with Christ? Or are you fudging the tally sheets and making a place to take care of you? Because the end result is always the same. It's always been the same from Numbers, from the very beginning of the Bible to all the way to this table, is make a choice. Who are you going to serve? And are you going to be faithful in your servanthood? Now that's a tough question. Well, I chose Jesus, but am I faithful in my life so that he could look at me and say, well, yes, you were faithful in a little, so therefore I'll give you more. Or is he going to say, yeah, you're a pretty sharp cookie. You manipulated the books on me, and I can't prove otherwise. And you'll get the dividends of that too. This is a serious question, and it's not about who's stealing from whom, although it is, really. It's about how faithful are you in your relationship with God. If you say, Lord, you go through a long list of thanksgivings and blessings and everything, and then you come to church and you put a dollar in the plate. Okay. Where's your faithfulness? Where does it fall? You know, it's like you've heard my annual stewardship sermon. You know, if you don't want to give, don't. God doesn't want it. We don't need it. If you're not giving out of a relationship with God, why are you giving? Because you're not going to buy anything from us. We don't have anything to sell. I will serve you at the table regardless of whether you give something or you don't give something. It's not my problem. The question is, how faithful are you in relationship? If you're faithful in your relationship with God, are you faithful in your relationship with others? Now, this gets a little squirmy because you're going to have to examine it. You say, well, I've never cheated on my wife or husband. Yeah. But what is your relationship like on a day-to-day basis? Are you faithful there? Or is there a hostile tension in the air? I've never stolen from my boss, okay? But have you worked earnestly for his benefit? Or are you just counting time so that you can get home? Where's your faithfulness? You understand, faithfulness is a relationship term. Without the relationship, how can you be faithful? There's going to be a relationship, one way or the other. You're either going to thrive and flourish or wither on the vine. And it's said continually, choose this day whom you will serve. And then do it. I have problems with some of our non-denominational brethren. I have some problems with that. Because I think sometimes they miss the question. That it's about God and my relationship with Him. It's not about an active, energy-filled worship. I have to think about that. Energy-filled worship. It sounds like a pep rally. It may be. Oh, it's a pep rally for God. Well, okay. But how does that enrich your relationship with Him? You're sitting here in a liturgical church. The question again, are you just going through rote with no meaning? Or does it help you understand your relationship with God, with Jesus, and with the Holy Spirit? Does it build up your faith that when you walk out the door, you're strong in that faith, not just when everybody's all excited around you? Faithfulness is a big, big challenge for us today because there's all kinds of things out there in society that wants your faithfulness. And if you don't believe it, look at your junk mail. Now, please come back. Haven't you seen? We're happy to have you in this family. You know, never communicated with them a day in my life, and here they are saying, please come back. I don't know you from Adam. And they want money. Well, that's nice. Money's minor. What's important is, do you walk with your God? Do you walk with the Redeemer? Because God paid for my faithfulness 100%. He paid for it, lock, stock, and barrel, all blood, and pain, and agony. And then He rose from the dead to live eternally, and He says, you're mine. You will join me. We have a good relationship. You've been faithful. I don't have a whole lot of other insight wisdom left. I think I've run out. So it's probably a good time to stop. You know. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.